Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
On second down, picked off, Lloyd again, Devin Lloyd, what a year, still rolling, down the sideline, one man to beat, Lloyd, pick six.
Well, 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 that was Joe Buck last night on
cool.
ESPN, Monday Night Football, a pick six. 99 yards the other way from Devin Lloyd, one of many, many self-inflicted mistakes throughout the evening. We're going to talk about it all for the next 4 hours here on Cody and Gold. Always welcome your thoughts on the Jay Southland Tow Service. Text line 913-586-7965. Video stream up and running as well. Facebook, YouTube, Twitch, X. Make sure you subscribe on YouTube so you don't miss any of the shows here on 96.5 The Fan. Coming up later on today, Nate Taylor will join us. He, of course, was in Jacksonville. I believe is still in Jacksonville. So he's going to call into the show in the 1 o'clock hour. We are also 30 minutes away from our VNFL insider joining us for the first time. And he's got quite the task. He gets to join us right after that game last night. So we'll have Vinny Pasquantino, our VNFL insider, join us in 30 minutes to talk about a little bit of baseball, but also get into the NFL. The Chiefs lost yesterday. Talk about his Jets. Talk about the AFC and everything there. But that pick six was the biggest swing in the game. Literally, if you look at win probability, that was the biggest swing of the game. It adjusted it from, you know, all of a sudden maybe having a 50% chance to win the game or more, actually, to 20-something percent chance. 11, people view it as a 14-point swing. It was analytically
minimum
11.6-point swing was the pick six. That was the biggest swing, but that was one of many, many self-inflicted wounds throughout the entire game. And even if you go to the first half, where the first quarter and a half, Cody, you're feeling good about how things are going, the offense looks like it's back, and all these things, you had an opportunity to kind of put the Jags away to where this stuff in the second half probably doesn't even happen or come into play, at least, because you get an interception when there's four Chiefs around the football instead of it being 14-7 at the break. It's a shutout in the first half, and the momentum's different, and the vibes are completely different. 13 penalties for this team for 109 yards. The Chiefs did this to themselves last night, plain and simple.
I mean, there's no really other way to put it. We can talk about the very... I don't think there's zero positives out of the game. That is one of the more frustrating losses the Chiefs have had in the last 5 years. Because it is one thing to lose. It is another thing to get your ass kicked. Those things happen. Sometimes you just lose close, fought football games. That stuff happens. All of it, right? It's common and normal, and you kind of get immune to it. And in this market, we've been smart enough to not bury the Chiefs or walk away from them too early and all this other stuff. That one they just gave away. Just gave it away. Which of the many times should I point out? Should I point out that Shamari Connor should turn around on the end zone instead of pass interfere with Brian Thomas? Should I point out that Harrison Butker kicked the ball out of bounds, giving him 10 free yards of field position on a kickoff? The pick six is the most obvious. That was the single biggest swing play of the game. They fooled Mahomes on that one, so just got the better of him. Or the, I don't know, you mentioned the 78,000 penalties they committed in the game. It's not a short list. It's a very long list of self-inflicted wounds that led itself to that game. What I can't get past and what I couldn't shake even this morning when you woke up to think about the game some more is I genuinely can't believe they lost that game. Knowing the Chiefs, who they are, their history, the record gold we talked about when they lead after the first quarter, the record when they lead by 14 or more, their record, they'd won 23 straight games when they win the turnover margin, any of it. I can't believe a game in which they were up 14 to nothing and had a pick in their linebacker's hands. Another play we can point out as part of the swing of the game. I don't know, the corners and two different pairs of linebackers' hands. They lost it? If you'd shown me a pause there, Golden, been like, they lost this football game, be like, I don't think so. How? How did they lose it? That doesn't make any sense. It still doesn't compute to me that they lost that football game. Makes no sense. They even got the lead late. They had a tremendous drive and to take the lead by four and still lost. It just like, it's an unfathomable game. It really is. Very frustrating one. Ugh.
Yeah, and in the Mahomes era, you haven't really seen a game quite like that. You know, there's been losses in the Mahomes era. There's been frustrating ones. Week one was frustrating to the Chargers, but what you laid out there, I mean, you go through multiple statistical categories. Heck, even the turnover margin, like someone already texted in and said, you guys said the Jags can't win if only by turnovers. That's not why they won. The Chiefs won the turnover margin in the game. It wasn't even that. That's the thing. So, yeah,
it was a huge one, a fumble on the goal line.
It wasn't even that the Jags won the turnover margin. No, the Chiefs had just as big of a turnover, you could argue, in the game. Just in the moment, it didn't feel like it, as Trevor Lawrence was right there at the half-inch line and fumbled the football. It was a team, though, that allowed the Jags to kind of hang around. Where when you dominate a team in the NFL the way they did for a quarter and a half, you have to put them away. And they were unable to do that. Their defense did not come up with a critical interception that allowed Jacksonville to have extra life that makes it 14-7. I think that was a huge deal. Then you set yourself up to where that opening drive of the second half was so impactful and you didn't do anything with it. And then it was game on from that point in time. And then, as you said, you compound it with some other mistakes along the way. We're going to talk about Chris Jones in a second. This is what Patrick Mahomes had to say on just blowing the lead to the Jags.
Yeah, I mean, obviously it sucks. You know, you let a game slip away. Credit to them. They played hard. They played hard the entire game and they got a lot of good football players. And they closed out there at the end. And so, it still sucks whenever you get a lead like that and you're not able to hold it through the rest of the game.
So that was Patrick Mahomes. And look, I think what's so stunning about it is when the stat we brought up yesterday, people are blaming us. I wish we had this power. The stat we brought up yesterday about the Chiefs in the first quarter.
You said this audio might come back to bite me in the ass.
And it did. It did. Now, here's what I will say. People can be mad at me for that. I would say nothing. It wasn't an opinion. I stated a fact. The Chiefs were 30-0. When leading after the first quarter for the last 3 years, they're now 30-1.
And that's not a regression to the mean. That's just who they, again, they gave, like, I'm looking at the play now, they're replaying. Trevor Lawrence fell on his ass and rolled around on the ground and stood back up and got the game-winning touchdown. What stands out, Gold, is after all of that stuff that went wrong, Mahomes still had this perfect drive, drove all the way down, put the ball in the end zone, was hitting dots, smooth as could be. Down there, sure, left a little bit too much time on the clock. You know, what are you going to do? The defense has been great for years. All they got to do is stop Trevor Lawrence and the Jags from getting in the end zone. Not even get, and the Jags, by the way, mismanaged at least half of that drive. They were in 3rd-and-7, and Trevor Lawrence had to make a perfect, and I do mean perfect pass, to Brian Thomas on the sideline. They had a delay of game. Trevor Lawrence fell down. They didn't even play that great on that drive, and you still let him get a touchdown. It was more frustrating from a loss perspective than even like playoff games sometimes, in the sense that like, I've seen playoff games that you had business losing. It's fine. Like I've seen games where you're like, yeah, you were supposed to lose that game. You were a worse team. You played worse. The Chiefs played better, had the better team or the more talented team and still lost. Like all of the things, like they're not worse than the Jaguars. They're definitively a better team than the Jags. That whole game indicates that.
But these are games that they didn't, over the last year and a half, 2 years, they don't lose though. Even what you said, like, hey, they outplayed them all this, but even if things go wrong, they find a way to usually win these.
Yeah,
we'll talk more about it an hour from now, one score game stuff. But some of this is, you know, is it regression of the mean? Is it over, you know, now is it overboard to that extent where all of a sudden now they're not winning any one score games? They went from winning 17 in a row to now they're 0-3 in one score games this year.
I don't think they're going to lose every one score game this year.
I don't think so either, but it's just, some of it is just all of a sudden you got some things kind of reverting back against you and nobody's going to feel sorry for you. That's for sure. If you're a Chiefs fan, anybody else outside of Kansas City, But that one, like that one pissed me off last night is what I mean, like that. I think I did. I was my night to do the videos, figures, my luck. I was each game. One of us from the station has to do a videos at pregame, halftime and postgame. And I was like, figures, that last night was my night to do that. And I said it in the video after when it was fresh. I mean, literally I hopped on there and did a video 5 seconds. I didn't have my shirt on, Drew. It is possible to do the video.
No pants though, right?
I didn't have any pants on. But I did have my shirt on.
What?
And I was pissed, man. Like, it's a good thing we didn't have a show immediately after the game. And it was just a quick 2.5 minute video because like I've calmed down a little bit. Like there's individual player performances that frankly really pissed me off last night. And let's get to one of them. And it's Chris Jones. This is twice now in the 2025 season where either a game sealing play had a mistake from one of your biggest stars, a future Hall of Famer. Week one, Herbert, you lose contain. 3rd and 14, I think it was, Herbert runs for 15 yards, game over.
And we saw teammates yell at him for that one, yeah.
Last night, it is not solely on him, but one of the key leaders for this team did not perform or at least show effort. How about that? I'm not saying Chris Jones on the ridiculous Trevor Lawrence fall on my ass twice, get up and score a touchdown play. I'm not saying Chris Jones was going to run all the way across and track him down. But he was standing there. Flat out standing there, zero effort. Yeah, Nick Bolton probably should have tackled him too. I'm not saying other guys weren't near him, but show some effort. It's twice in 5 weeks that your top defensive player, who's supposed to be your top defensive player, looks pretty pathetic in those spots.
It is inexcusable to play that way. It really is. Because when you look at the play, it's not just that, and look, maybe, and I'm sure that there's something, like, he could just explain it, right? He usually talks on Thursday, so maybe we'll carry Chris Jones this week, even though typically we don't.
Oh, here's the audio. This was last night, Cody. He was asked about the Lawrence, not him in particular, but this was him on the Lawrence touchdown scramble.
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish. We had multiple guys there that we just got to finish that play. It was a fluke play for him to be able to break that many tackles. But yeah, I think I put it on us as a defense. We got to finish. You know, we got to bring him down on that.
He really didn't even break any tackles on the play. There, no, he didn't. Trevor Lawrence
nobody
really
touched him.
Nobody was close enough to touch him. And don't save me on the. I'm sorry. Save me on the. They were trying to let them score. Crap. Go back and watch the play. That's just such a cop out. I mean, even
why
the play.
Every player
by the way, none of the
player.
Chris Jones would have said that if that was the case. So that was very popular last night. Like, well, they were trying to let them score. Maybe you wish they did for timing, but that was not the play. Go back and watch it. Everybody else was giving effort on the play. Nick Bolton's running his ass off. They're still covering what's his name there. I know there's a holding call, but they're still trying. You think if they were letting them score, they would have held on the play? You think there would have been defensive holding on the play the Chiefs were trying to let the Jags score? No, there was no effort on a play. They were trying to get a stop. And if they would have stopped Trevor Lawrence, Cody, they had no timeouts. Trevor Lawrence would have had a rush to spike it with like 8 seconds.
Yeah, and they might have had one or two, depending on if they passed or ran there, because if they had gotten him, probably a pass, at least on that end. I can't understand it. It was one of the laziest plays I have seen Chris Jones commit. That's all it was. It was just lazy. And then obviously he was getting crushed on social media and then deleted his social media yesterday. I don't know if you know, or deactivated it or whatever.
Yeah, probably smart for him. He would have tweeted something he would have regretted, I think. So that's probably smart.
And I'm not saying he won't come back, but it's like,
He'll be back.
I'm not saying he won't be back on social media, but it is an inexcusable play. And if I were a coach in a room, I'd be like, why are you just standing there? Move. Pretend like there's some urgency. It was the, at that time, final play of the game, essentially. Because yet another penalty on a kick return made it almost impossible for Patrick Mahomes to do anything with the football. And the fact that Hollywood Brown didn't realize that's another play. There's 1,000 plays. Hollywood, man, they're not that many seconds. I'd be looking for the football, hypothetically, on that play too. But beside the point, because we're talking about Chris Jones. I genuinely do not understand what happened on that play. Did he just forget? Did he think he was down?
Yeah, I think he thought his guys were about.
Like,
I honestly
why
think
he was just standing.
Yeah, I honestly thought, and based on the audio we played, I think he stood there. He believed. I think Nick Bolton was Drew Tranquil there too. He thought his teammates had the play, which is a lesson that I would hope as a player of his caliber would know. You know, no play is over till it's over, kind of thing.
Especially on that play. Look, if it's the second quarter and you thought somebody got down, and then maybe you didn't get to the edge. Things happen. Yeah. They're on the 1 yard line, trailing by four with 25 seconds or 20 seconds or whatever the hell it is to go in the game. What are you doing? That's the only time when you pursue to the bitter end of that play. And that's even more than the pick. Pick six is a mistake. He thought Devin Lloyd would come forward. He admitted that pretty much every time.
Mahomes got fooled.
He got fooled. He threw a pass.
Bad decision.
And he took responsibility. He got fooled. Chris Jones didn't get, I mean, maybe he did, but say it. Like, he took no accountability for it. And look, I get it. Like, we all get tired of Andy Reid being like, that's on me. I got to have a better plan. Whatever the stuff he'll say on, he said after the game yesterday, and we'll say again on Wednesday. All that stuff is pretty common. Chris Jones there, and some of this is like an optics thing. Whether it was as bad as it looks or not, it looks horrible. Because on the final play of the game where Trevor Lawrence is just bumbling all over his feet like a newborn baby giraffe and nobody can get him, you're just standing there like you have nothing better to do.
Danon Hughes was on with Fesco and Dusty today, former player. This is what he said about it.
Chris basically took a play off. I don't know why he did that. I don't know what was going through his head, but I do know that if you're a leader, like, it's got to show. And the film don't lie. That's one thing that I always was told. The eye in the sky does not lie. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say in the moments, the film tells the absolute truth, good and bad. And that's something that they're going to have to look at, because to me, for him to not give that effort, you put yourself in a position where you cannot be the yelling guy on the sideline to coaches. You cannot be the yelling guy and the rally guy until you right that wrong.
I just can't believe that we're five games into the season.
He's having a bad start to his year.
Five games in, yeah. And two games of the three losses, essentially the final play, I'll call it, right? The game-sealing play, or in this case, game-winning play.
It's only 20 seconds.
Chris Jones was either MIA or made a critical error. Week one, we all saw, and he, you know, Drew Tranquil and him were getting into it on the field because Chris Jones did not keep his contain on the outside, allowed Herbert to scramble for 14, I think it was. And then last night, the play we're talking about where, I mean, if you didn't believe us, you think we were wrong. There's Danon Hughes, who played the sport, who said what we said. He took a play off.
And some of this is, he is probably frustrated because he is getting double teamed. He's probably frustrated because the rest of the defensive line is not helping him. But he just took a play off. But it's not that I think no player has ever taken a playoff in the history of the NFL, ran a route kind of lazy, slacked on coverage a little, didn't rush the same way.
The game is on the line, man.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't the first quarter and it's the first drive of the game. I'm saving some energy here. This is the game.
That's the part. That's what it really is. It's that how, and this is twice now this year, on what is going to end up being the deciding play on defense. As in, if you stop Herbert here, you get the ball back. Maybe Mahomes can win the game for you against the Chargers. Get the stop here. Maybe they don't get the ball in the end zone. You still win the football game. In the deciding moments of two football games, Chris Jones did a play poor in one, like over pursued, didn't do his job. And the other one just took the play off. Just sat it out. Just didn't do the job. And that's crazy for a player of his caliber. He has been a great player. He will likely be a Hall of Famer one day.
Yeah, he's going to be. Yeah.
Him to take a playoff like that, even in a regular season game, is crazy. And again, I don't know. Maybe if you ask him in an honest moment, he's like, I thought they had him. I thought they tackled
him. That's kind of what he said.
I was confused about, I got confused, and that's on me, and I should have pursued and come through, and I'm not trying to get a roughing call or whatever.
He said
still.
That. I mean,
I thought multiple times we had him. We just got to finish.
But like, he didn't move.
Nope.
He didn't move towards the ball. I will say, I did not think through 5 weeks of the season that this would be. Have you seen the playoff standings for the AFC?
Yeah, the Chiefs would be out of the playoffs. So would the Ravens. So would the Bengals. It's kind of crazy to think about. And that's why the season doesn't end on October 7th, thank goodness.
Right, right now, the playoff field would be Indy, Buffalo, Pittsburgh would be the three. They have a negative point differential. The Chargers would be the four. The Jags would be the five. Denver would be the six. And New England would be the seven. This is part of like going back to the, I don't think that this is how the playoffs are going to stack up gold. I believe the Chiefs will be one of the seven teams in the playoff field. Hell, I still think they got a really good chance to win their division because the Chargers still did them a favor this weekend. They're still only one game back in the division, haven't played the Broncos, still have a second game against the Chargers. So anything they want to do from a divisional standpoint, from getting a home playoff game, those things are still firmly in their own control. But they've now lost multiple games this year that they never lost in the previous years. As in, they had control, they were in control, and they let one slip away. Normally, they do that to other teams.
Yeah, 2025 is different. 2025 is different. Doesn't mean the team stinks. It means, though, that you found ways to win games all these years, and now, so far this year, they found some ways to lose games, which is not what we've seen under Andy Reid and with Patrick Mahomes and this group. And what really stings is, I know we're focused on Chris Jones right now. We'll get to some of the other guys. We already mentioned Mahomes on the interception. Some of these losses, your star players, your leaders, the guys that have gotten you to winning multiple rings are having as big of a factor in these losses as they've ever had.
Travis Kelce on the dropped interception.
Yeah. Kelce early in the season. Chris Jones twice now, I would argue.
Mahomes on a
pick six. Harrison Butker can't kick the ball straight on kickoffs apparently either. These are players that have helped you in why you've had this success. And this year, they're responsible in large part for the three losses that you've had, and we're only 5 weeks in.
Yeah, like I'd like him to just turn around. And Shamari Connor made a bad play. I'm going to put it more on the big-time players who have mattered to the franchise, who will end up in the Hall of Fame, and all the other stuff. It does deserve to be on them more. Now, I'm not going to write them off. I don't think the Chiefs have no chance to win a Super Bowl or go to an AFC Championship game or win the division of any of those other things. And we'll talk in a few minutes about some of the positive things that you can still take away from what is an incredibly frustrating loss, but it just doesn't take it away. That one's going to stink for a couple of days until you can get to Sunday and hopefully rinse it away by beating another very good team on your schedule in the Lions.
Yeah, we'll talk the three-game stretch that's coming up. They have three straight home games, and now that you're below 500 again, massive three-game stretch coming up. But penalties, 13 penalties for 109 yards. I want to go back to that because we have talked over the years on this show that under Andy Reid, with the exception of last year, typically they actually are a highly penalized team. It just hasn't mattered in the way that it is so far this season. By the way, it's what happens for a lot of teams. You're not supposed to be able to commit this many penalties and win games. The Chiefs have gotten us accustomed to, oh, they can make all these mistakes, they can be penalized, and they still find a way to pull one out of their you-know-what. That's what they didn't do yesterday. It's what they've been able to do during this run. The Chiefs right now in penalty stats, in forced penalties, they are tied for the sixth most this year. Penalty yardage, fifth most per game. This is per game.
Yeah.
Penalty differential, negative 13, tied for the second worst in football. Penalty yardage differential, negative 90 yards, third worst. And I understand 109 of them last night, but still, that's the facts of the facts.
Yeah.
I mean, this is a team that's undisciplined right now, too.
Yeah, that's a huge part of it. There's no doubt that they are. And that's been pretty consistent, I would say, throughout the year. Look, they've, to this point, and this is what we talked about going into this game, to this point, they've beaten the two bad teams on their schedule, the Baltimore Ravens, who are currently 1-4, and the Giants, who I think have... They have one win. They have two. 1-4 as well. And they have lost to the three winning teams on their schedule. The 3-2 Chargers, the 4-1 Jags, right? They are losing to, and the 4-1 Eagles. They are losing to teams that are winning and have consistently won this year. But that's what it comes down to. You can't both. In previous years, I think they could be sloppy gold, make these penalties, have turnovers, do this stuff and overcome it, because that's just who they were. This year, if you're going to screw things up, it better not be against the winning teams. You have to play sound football against the Chargers, the Eagles, the Jags. They have a combined record of like 11-4. That's not the squads to be screwing up against.
Yeah, the margin of error.
You can screw up against the Giants and still win.
The margin of error is so slim. But again, this is what it is usually. I keep saying it, like that we're used to in Kansas City that they're not in the same world as everybody else in terms of every other team in football. If I told you they have 13 penalties for 109 yards, you think they probably got their ass kicked in the game. If I told you that any other team had a pick six, 13 penalties and all this, you probably think they get their butts kicked. Now, we dive deeper into the turnover differential and stuff, and there's plenty of metrics that say the Chiefs should have won.
Pick six and 13
penalties, all that, they got most teams probably don't overcome that. We've gotten used to in Kansas City that they'll find a way to figure it out. They're now playing the same game as everybody else. And the margin of error is what it is for everybody, which is extremely thin. And that's why this year they're 0-3 in one score games versus 10-0 like they were in 2025 or 2024 to 2025. All right, up next, our VNFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino, joins us. We'll talk a little baseball as the season, of course, is wrapped up for him. And then we'll get into last night's game.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
With Vinny next.
He's a husband, a dog dad, a first baseman, and a fantasy football commissioner.
Being a commissioner for the league is tough, and I'm really excited. I'm wearing a suit today.
He also likes to fill the bathtub with hard work and Jets tears.
I can't take any more disappointment. That's what he used to say when we watched the Jets games together.
But his most important job is being a VNFL insider.
I haven't enjoyed a football season since 1969.
On 96.5 The Fan, here's Vinny Pasquantino.
He's back for another football season here on Cody and Gold. He's going to join us each and every Tuesday at 10:30 to talk some NFL. I will admit, though, Vinny, we do have to talk a little baseball to get started. It's great to have you back on the show first and foremost, but I was digging through, you know, 32 homers, 113 RBI, and then what is this? Looks like one stolen base and one triple this year.
Yep, we did it. We wanted more than one stolen base and maybe more than one triple. Got the triple out of the way opening weekend.
True.
Thought I was due for some more, but wasn't. So we'll good motivation for the off season to just go back and get better.
You got to get on that speed training regimen that Bobby's on, you know?
Yeah, whatever he's doing, I'll do too. If it works like that, I'm in.
Whatever happens in that end. And look, the season itself, you're watching the playoffs right now. Obviously, you guys wanted to be a part of that. How do you spend that first week in retrospect trying to figure out, hey, we were close. Where did we come up short? How do we make sure that next year we get back where we want to go? How do you spend that little bit of like first downtime when you're seeing teams be in the playoffs, which is where you guys obviously wanted to be?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it was pretty simple because a lot of that onus falls on me. Have to be better, you know, with ducks on the pond and get them in. So for me, it wasn't too much of a reflection because it was just kind of staring me at the face of where can I be better? And that's, you know, other than some other smaller things, like that's kind of where you look at it. It's like, all right, I hit in the middle of the order. Like my job's to drive in runs and I probably left, I don't know, pretty generously 20, 30 guys out there this year where it's like, man, if I clean that up, we score some more runs, some moves don't get made on the coaching staff that have been made. Like it's one of those things that's tough. But it was pretty simple for me to reflect back on it this year.
Is that a tough part of the job, I guess? Like knowing that, you know, because we all understand this, it's like player performance related to coaching stuff is that you feel responsible for people's jobs, right? Like you feel like I got to make sure that I do this to make sure that the guys I like and trust are still around.
Yeah, I mean, I think coaching is one of the more thankless jobs out there. If I go perform, all that responsibility gets put on me. And if I don't perform, all that responsibility gets put on the coach. Everybody in Kansas City wanted all of our hitting coaches fired throughout the entire year. So, you know, you got two of the three of them. But I'm happy that we kept Zumi around. I think it'll be good for us. And you know, we move on from there and we just try to get better.
What's your relationship like with Alex Zumwalt? Because I think that you're right. That came up a lot throughout the season. And it seems very clearly that you guys and not only the front office, but you guys as players have a really strong relationship with Alex Zumwalt. And that's such a critical piece.
Yeah. Well, a lot of us knew him from the minor leagues. He was in charge when I got drafted.
So I've known him since then. So I have a really good relationship with him. He knows my swing in and out. He knows when I'm thinking in and out. Like, there's a lot of relationship piece there that helps with just being comfortable when you show up to the yard every day. But at the end of the day, like, sometimes you got to make decisions. You know, we failed this year, so we got to look at ourselves in the mirror and try to figure out how to not fail next year.
When you look at it, and I guess, and then we can move to football hypothetically. When you look at like where the roster still is, so many of these guys are going to be back for your team. A huge chunk and core of the roster between the pitching and the hitting staff are back. I'm assuming you guys are already talking about, you know, how you think this team is good enough and as good as last year's team that made the playoffs is, as far as what your goals are for next year.
Yeah, I mean, the goals are simple. You don't really need to talk about them. The goal is to win the World Series. Anything short of that, and you're kind of questioning what you're doing. So I think, you know, for me, my job is to show up in the best shape of my life, ready to go next year. pretty simple, right? That's all I got to do. Show up in the best shape of my life and be ready to go.
But before we talk a little football, can I ask you just some housekeeping, basic baseball questions, rapid fire, because I want to know a couple of things that I don't understand how they work, and I want to, you're a professional, so you can answer them for me.
Yep.
Go ahead. So when you throw the ball into the stands, when you have the ball at first base, do you point it directly at somebody, or are you trying to like just randomly throw it into a group of people?
There's sometimes where I'll point if there's a kid that I see or something that I make sure that the ball tries to get to them. But I'm not good enough to just be able to throw over a net and be able to hit it. I got better this year. But yeah, mostly it's just kind of throw it and hope. You try to throw it to where the most people are paying attention. I landed in a beer once this year. That was pretty good. But nice. I also hit a few people this year who weren't paying attention. So got to lock in when you're at the games.
When I was fortunate enough to sit in the crown seats this year, when you're standing there, do you actually hear the things people are saying to you? Or are you just like too locked in?
Yeah. We hear everything.
You should have heard. I mean, did you hear the things that Cody was saying about you when he was sitting there? It's pretty crazy. Disgusting.
It's honestly astonishing that I'm back on the show right now with some of the things that he was saying.
Yeah, I believe it.
I'm just trying to figure out some of the little things, you know, like I like to know the stuff that happens behind the scenes.
Yeah, you're not that far away when you're sitting right there. So the worst though is when there's like kids sitting there or something though, and they try to keep saying hello, and it's like a close game late in the game or something. It's like, man, like, please stop, because I don't want to be a jerk. But also, if I turn and say hi to you, the amount of people that are going to see me and be like, oh, he's not locked in. Got to play the game a little bit. I can't just say hello to everybody when we're right there.
What's the wildest thing somebody said to you? I saw the time I was sitting there, a kid yelled to Bobby, said, I skipped school, please hit a home run. He giggled. he laughed a little. He thought that was good. What's the craziest thing someone said to you down there?
The craziest thing that I've ever heard was when we were at the Dodger Stadium last year, I was hitting and a J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets chant happened. That was probably one of the stranger things that's happened to me. Because I'm sitting there, I'm like, do I hear what I think I'm hearing right now? And it was, because guys in the dugout were like, did you hear that?
That's
good.
That's good. Yeah, that probably,
get a Jets chant.
That'll throw you off, I would imagine, though, all of a sudden, something like that, as we're talking to our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. All right, let's get to some football, man. That's why we're going to have you on throughout the season as well. It's good to have you back as our insider. So last night, we've been already talking all about it. The Chiefs, self-inflicted mistakes. I'm assuming you caught the game yesterday. What did you make of what the Chiefs were unable to do?
I bet on them, so I was unhappy. I had the money line. Didn't work.
Yeah.
It made too many mistakes. Very un-Chiefs-like game. Sorry. Too many mistakes. That 99-yard touchdown, which was, if you're just a football fan, was kind of cool. But if you're a Chiefs fan, you're very upset about that. Some penalties. Tough game. You lose those sometimes, 2-3. Guess what? Still going to go to the playoffs. No worries about that.
Yeah, so you're not overall concerned with the Chiefs team. You still assume they'll be in the AFC title game or wherever else they normally end up.
I'm assuming Rashee Rice is on track to be back in, 2 weeks?
Yep.
So that's going to help. I'd be very excited if I was you guys right now with that addition coming back. Here comes wide receiver one back to an offense that's starting to play better. So, yeah, I think you're in a pretty good spot. I don't know how Trevor Lawrence ended up scoring that touchdown.
Oh, I know, man.
I always thought that there was a rule if you were a quarterback and fell backwards that you were just down, but I guess that's college, right? If you hit the ground, you're done.
Yep.
I don't know why. I was watching that play, and I was like, is he allowed to just get back up? Because I thought when quarterbacks fell down, it was like them giving themselves up, but I guess not.
I mean, he wasn't doing it on purpose, I guess, is the argument. Like, normally that's got to be, like, an intentional giving up on the play versus the other. And, like, and that's just one of those – that used to happen to the Chiefs, Vinny, in their long history. They used to have a lot of plays. Like, Marcus Mariota would catch his own touchdown pass or nonsense. But I felt like we had washed that away in the Mahomes era. I wasn't used to them losing a football game that way.
That was hilarious, though, because you could see – like, if you're more of an unathletic person, you could see exactly what was going on in Trevor Lawrence's head, which was, oh, my God, I'm on the ground. I have to get up. He messed up the first time he tried to get up. Like, if that's a normal person, right, like, that play gets so messed up. But somehow he gets up and scores. Like, that was insane because I feel like I was watching myself in that moment, and if I try to get up and can't, I'm in a full panic. No way I'm getting up and scoring a touchdown.
I like that you're describing you're just like a turtle that's on its back. Like, oh, God, how do I fix this situation?
Yeah exactly.
AFC as a whole, Vinny, I mean, the AFC West is going to be really tight, but you got teams like the Colts that are one of the great stories and surprises. You got the Jags themselves who are now 4-1. Are you buying into some of these, I'll say, up-and-comers at this point in the AFC?
Man. The Colts are the one seed, aren't they?
Right now,
yeah.
They're kind of a wagon, I suppose. What is the seeding right now? Sorry, I didn't look this morning.
Colts are, if the playoffs started today, the Colts would be the one, the Bills would be the two. Steelers, Chargers, Jags, Broncos, Patriots would round out the field.
The Colts are like the only team that's done everything well throughout the first part of the season, right? Like, they played good defense, they played good offense. It's a good time to be a Chiefs fan, though, because you're still in a good spot. You tell me you're nervous if you go to Indianapolis for the AFC Championship or a playoff game or something?
No.
Yeah, I think you guys are going to be okay.
On the other
Ravens
end.
Ravens stink.
Yeah, they're awful.
What happened to that defense? Are they all just hurt?
Well, they weren't very good last year, and I think we mostly ignored it because Lamar Jackson was playing otherworldly.
Yeah.
So sometimes you miss those things, and then when the offense starts playing kind of mediocre, it all can fall apart and unravel pretty quick, is my guess, Vinny.
Yeah, well, sorry I'm not as knowledgeable as I need to be right now because this was my first full Sunday of watching football. So I'm still backtracking to try to
You're talking like you played 162 baseball games or something.
Hey, I played 160 this year, guys. How about that?
That's really good.
I do remember. That? Yeah, you did. I remember we had you on, I think, during spring training, and you were kind of self-deprecating, talking about, you know, hey, I don't know if you guys know, I kind of got an injury history, and here you are, 160 game season. I think we can move past that.
Yeah, that's kind of fun. So let's keep that going. but I'm locking it in, and so we'll see. Next week, I'll be a little bit more knowledgeable about my football, but I'm not scared of any of the teams in the AFC, especially if I'm the Chiefs, because I feel like you're going to do okay with Aaron Rodgers. I feel like you're going to do okay with Daniel Jones. I feel like you're going to do okay with – I mean, you beat the Bills in the playoffs every year. So, yeah, it's all right. And I don't know about the Chargers. What do you guys think?
They're already charging a little bit.
I think they're hurt now is their problem. They lost to Amari and Hampton. They've got offensive line issues. I don't fear them yet. I still think Denver's the better roster of the two, if we're being honest.
Yeah, I would agree. Their defense is, I mean, really just Pat Surtain is so good at football.
Last question I do have for you. I do know you've watched two Jets games. Are you already looking at quarterbacks for the 2026 NFL draft?
I mean, I guess I kind of have to be, but the quarterback is like the least of their concerns right now. And I would imagine if they get the number one pick, you got to trade out if a team really wants a quarterback. I don't even know who the quarterbacks are. It's the guy from Indiana, right? Indiana, Oregon.
Nussmeyer's another one. It's early to figure, like, to hone in, but yeah, those are some of the names.
What happened to Arch, man? What happened to him?
Yeah, not ready. Not ready, that's for sure.
He'll probably do one of his uncles did not want to go to New York. Didn't Peyton not go to New York or something?
No, it was Eli didn't want to go to the Chargers. He chose New York. He decided the Giants instead.
Gotcha. Maybe that'll run in the family, and he wants to play in green if he's good enough. But yeah, I don't know. We got the number one pick right now, so basically the Jets control the league at the moment.
Control their destiny, just not in the way you would normally like to say that.
It's been tough. It has not been fun. Bob got to experience me watching a Jets game last Monday. I stayed at his house and we watched the game, and it was no fun for either of us. Yeah. It just hasn't been great, but I'll be there supporting. I was going to go to London this weekend to watch them in the Broncos, but I just don't know if I can financially justify that.
Yeah. Why do you want to watch them go 0-6? That's true.
Yeah. But this will be one of those random games that they win. And by the way, if you text me on a Sunday morning and ask me how the Jets are going to do, I'm going to tell you that they're going to win every single time. I find ways to make sure that they win the game. Like this week, ball control. Keep the ball, give it to Breece, let them run, they win the game.
As a pre-scouting, I want the Chiefs to trade for Breece Hall. Any thoughts on that?
If you give us a first-round pick, I'm in.
Well, yeah, I bet. I bet you're totally in with that. That's our Jets fan. That's our NFL insider, Vinny Pasquantino. He's going to join us each and every Tuesday throughout the season. Good to hear from you, man. Appreciate it.
Yep, thanks, guys.
There you go. Vinny joining us here on Cody and Gold. And we'll lock into some more football next week with him. But, yeah, the Jets are, of course, a mess. And if you were a Chiefs fan listening and you just wanted to take a deep breath, I think Vinny
he's like, you're fine. You're afraid to go to Indianapolis?
Yeah.
Does that strike deep fear into your heart? You're like, no, it doesn't.
Yeah.
I also like that he took accountability for a lot of the stuff that happened in the Royals season. He's certainly not the only reason they missed, but Vinny had a rough first month, and the team hit worse with runners in scoring position and in leverage spots than they did last year. You know, I still think their issues came down to the month of June, if you had to make me boil it down to one single issue or reason why they missed.
It's pretty glaring.
But the offense going quiet for 81 games this year is certainly a huge reason why they ended up missing the playoffs. But obviously, I like that he takes a lot on an individual level.
I mean, I was joking. Yeah, I was obviously joking about the stolen bases and triples, but 32 homers, a .113 RBI.
Yeah.
And you know, he did play 160 games because that he admitted it before the season. That was a big thing.
Understandably
so. It was a guy that had not been able to make it through a season and recently, and he was able to do that. Hopefully that gives you some more confidence as well heading into 2026. But it'll good to have our NFL insider back on the show. All right, I want to get back to the Chiefs individually here. And I know today, and trust me, if you listen to the first 30 minutes, you know there's plenty of things that we're all frustrated about today. And I'm still pretty ticked off about individual performances from some of their stars. But I will say this. The offense, I feel great about them moving forward. I really do. I really do. This is not just trying to put lipstick on a pig of a performance. I truly believe last night offensively was a really good performance. Unless you think Mahomes is throwing pick sixes, guys, throughout the season, he's not going to.
They made one devastatingly bad play amongst a very good performance.
They had a 12-play, 86-yard drive that ate 6.5 minutes almost off the clock to take the go-ahead score that then put it on their defense late. They did what they were supposed to do in that moment. Now, Mahomes owned the pick six, and you can't make that mistake. He got fooled and all that. That is true. But this offense still doesn't have Rashee Rice, and they put up 28 points last night and were a pick six away from probably putting up, you know, 35 points yesterday against a pretty good Jags defense. I don't know, but I still feel that this offense is clearly headed in the right direction. While I'm concerned about special teams, I'm concerned about the penalties and the mistakes that continue to happen. Offensively, I actually think the offense showed us once again that they continue to move forward.
If I could simply eliminate the only concern I have on offense, which is their ability to run the football, and that Patrick Mahomes was again their leading rusher for the fourth or third time this year, Gold, that part concerns me, admittedly. Patrick Mahomes is on pace for 4,300 passing yards, 700 rushing yards, 40 probably total touchdowns. Yep. I think it's like 30 passing and another probably 10 rushing. That was their single best performance on offense all year. Because the defense they were facing, the offensive line played great. The Tyquan Thornton connection continues, which we'll get into individually during the Chiefs Red Half Hour. I hate to agree in the sense that I know there are going to be people like, what are you talking about? I don't know how you can watch that offensive performance and not feel like, for the first time, I would actually believe them when they told me it's close. They had a 97-yard drive that looked like the 2018 Chiefs. It was a hot knife through butter. They went down the field after that fumble on Trevor Lawrence and not just went 97 yards, went 97 yards with ease. It was a piece of cake. It took no time. It was no trouble. It looked like they were in full control.
Multiple players got involved. It wasn't just one person.
Yeah, that's the other part. They're hitting Hollywood. They're hitting Travis. They're hitting Xavier Worthy. For two games in a row, the offense looks like it's a well-oiled machine that is not having difficulty. I know in this game they had two drives. Teams aren't going to score in every drive. They had two drives.
Yeah, they're not going to have 100% efficiency. But
But on those two drives, I could argue that it was just the penalties that set them back. And it wasn't the offense had an issue. It's that they had an illegal formation that made a 2nd and 9 that was going to be a 2nd and short.
Yeah.
And they had an offensive, you know, like they had a penalty that set them back twice. Yeah.
Two of the losses you could put on the offense and week 1 was on everybody. This loss, like I know that's not how they operate. It was a complete team loss yesterday. However, the offense like that, they're way less to blame. Way less to blame. Mahomes, of course, pick 6 was the biggest swing of the game. So in that regard, you'd say, fine, put on the offense. But if we're talking bigger picture, where the offense is trending, what they're starting to do, now that part I do feel really good about. It's the hope that's the only bit of hope that I have that they can win on Sunday, frankly, against the Detroit Lions. Just, is because the offense to me is in position again to where I think they can. Now Rice is still not back, so they're gonna still not have the full arsenal. But you know,
this arsenal's really good.
Kareem Hunt had his longest run in 4 years. Pacheco actually cut back on a run. My goodness, you can see it's amazing.
Rashard Smith had some effective plays. He's
continue to get him the ball, man. Like continue to get him the football.
The last two games from Patrick Mahomes, 29 of 41, and they knew he was like at some point. I will say their imbalance was really bad. They did not run the ball very much in that game. So like at some point, the Jags must have known the Chiefs were just going to go to the air. He went 29 of 41 for 318 yards, a touchdown and a rushing one. And again, I know the pick. The previous game, he went 270, 4 touchdowns. And you're like, I mean, he is white hot from a pass game perspective. Their offense looks like it knows what it's doing. Xavier Worthy stepped back up. And again, they do not have their single best offensive player outside of Patrick Mahomes back yet. So yes, I am very confident that they are going to be one of the better offenses in the NFL. The thing I can't figure out on the reverse side, and we can talk about it maybe more later too, but what I can't figure out on the reverse side is they've had two games defensively where it's like the miscommunication's really out of whack. Not even that bad players making bad plays can't cover guys, just miscommunication's out of whack. It's the opposite offensively. They got fooled on one play, and outside of that, I would say they look like they had no trouble moving the ball.
They finally
no
have
trouble scoring.
They clearly found their left tackle, the future. That's been good. That's the biggest shift. And someone on the text line said they didn't win. None of this matters. Way to ignore the entire conversation we're having. But 913-586-7965. The Patrick Mahomes is facing pressure on just 25.8% of his dropbacks this year. That's the 4th lowest rate in the NFL. He's getting protection.
And it's getting better
in 2025. Josh Simmons is getting better. He had that weird scare before the game, illness, stomach, whatever. I don't know. But he played. Juwan Taylor got called for a penalty, but for once, it really wasn't his fault. Tyquan Thorne was lined up improperly. So the O-line is starting to find its groove. That's why I have confidence in the offense moving forward. We can have, and I know you know this, Cody, but I'm just talking to them specifically the one text, but you can have a conversation that the team lost last night, and we are, and ridiculous mistakes by certain individuals throughout the game.
Yep.
You can also have a conversation that the offense is continuing to trend in the right direction because the season did not end last night. You're right. If the last night was a playoff eliminating loss, then you're right. There'd be no point in talking about anything moving forward. We would just talk about the loss. It is October 7th. So yes, the offense getting better is a significant thing for the rest of the year if you think they have a chance to still win the division.
Well, and if you look at, so I went back and I looked, he had the highest average completion yesterday of the whole season. And in the last 2 weeks, his completions in terms of average, he said 7 yards basically average per completion for the first time this season in the last 2 weeks. So assuming that only continues to go up, I did think it was interesting. I think this is only one game sample size. I don't know the others. Nick Jacobs put this out. Mahomes was obviously the Jags ran zone and Mahomes was carving him up. When they ran man, Mahomes was 2 of 9, had the pick as well. I think it's a one game thing, but it'll be interesting to see going forward after this stat. It makes me wonder if just in terms of zone versus man coverage and how the offense continues to perform, because obviously Mahomes was great yesterday and he was carving him up. And just his awareness too, I think it happened. Obviously, they had the read option play where they'll run a read option, but they won't run a sneak. Anyways, He voluntarily took a QB draw as well, twice, I believe, in that game.
He just, like, I
saw,
like,
the coverage, boom, took off.
He was throwing it all over the field. He was making great throws. The offense looks comfortable. I understand they're screwing things up, but still.
Sports Talk on 96.5 The Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Let's talk more about what happened last year, what is certainly not happening so far in 2025, and we'll focus more on the defense. I know a lot of you want to talk about that, in particular one player that randomly didn't get on the field much yesterday. We'll try to make sense of it next.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.